You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Well, we've been going through the book of John, the Gospel of John, and our series is called Knowing I Am. And it's been amazing. I preached about a month ago earlier in the book, and I just love it because, you know, John is just so interested and so focused on letting the reader know, like, who Jesus really is. That when we read the book of John, we have to come away with this sense of, wow. Jesus is the Almighty. Jesus is all-powerful. And we come to this miracle. Last week we talked about the way Jesus multiplied the fishes to feed 5,000 and how that was symbolic of the manna in heaven. And Jesus said, I am food. I am the manna from heaven. Well, we come to this particular miracle today where His disciples, right after this, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, they hop in their little boat that has a sail and oars, and they're going across. They need to get to the other side of the lake, and night falls, and a big squall comes up. Now, some commentaries say squall, and I just think, what a scary word, squall. It's like a you know, I mean, that's got to be bad, right? So the disciples were in fear. And before we go on, before I read the scripture, I want to talk a little bit about fear. Don't we all deal with good old fear? It sits right here, doesn't it? And at extreme measures of it, it starts here and then it goes out to the rest of our body and it just paralyzes us. It's an awful feeling. It's that trepidation that we're either going to fail or be rejected or lose something that we want or end up lonely or financial ruin, job loss, you know. But most of us, if we're honest, we have our ways of dealing with fear, right? And we get along pretty good. Some of us may drink a little too much every now and then. Some of us, like me, drink a heck of a lot of coffee. Some of us watch too much TV. Some of us eat too much ice cream at night. Some of us try to get too much money. But we have our little ways that we can medicate and just sort of get by with the fear that we have kind of settled with. Because fear feels so bad, we gotta do something. We gotta do something to take away the edge, the pain of the fear that we experience in life. But for all of us, without fail, the big storm of fear will come. Some of you have faced it. Some of you are in it right now. Some of you have not faced it yet. But for all of us, the big storm that comes wipes away all our little crutches, all the little things that we medicate our fear with. None of it works anymore. The storm is so strong, it just knocks all our crutches out. And there we are in the middle of a dark lake, high winds and waves. And we have nothing. We're powerless, out of control. At some point in our lives, we will have major financial loss, death, sickness, relational loss. And these things are the big storm. They come and nothing can help. And they paralyze us. Oftentimes, depression comes, isolation comes, paralyzation. We can't do anything. We can't go anywhere. All we want to do is lay in bed because we are paralyzed with the fear. Now, sometimes this storm comes because of something we've done. But oftentimes it comes just because life is that way. Life throws curveballs at us. It's unpredictable. So these things come and rock us. H.P. Lovecraft says, "The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown." These things come and they knock our crutches out and all the things we wanted or thought we were going to have, we don't know anymore. We don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea. We're just out there floating around being tossed and turned by the waves and wind and we can't see the shore. And it is so scary. It is so scary. We may feel like the psalmist in Psalm 55. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter far from the tempest and storm. Oh, so true. When we're in the middle of this storm, we just want to get, you know, we just pray, God, just take me up now. Just take me up now. Or I just need to go. I just need to go into the desert. Just get me out of here. But oftentimes we can't. We can't go anywhere because of our responsibilities. And we're just sitting there in the storm and we don't know what to do. And it may feel something like this. Show the video. I didn't want to show you what happened. Because we need some hope here, right? But we are powerless. You see how powerless? An impossible situation comes. None of our skill, none of our strength, nothing within us is able to get up that tidal wave. Let's read the story, and I think the disciples felt the same. John 6:16 through 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. You know, this brings up, they were not only afraid of the elements and the situation they were in, but they were in some way afraid of Jesus as well. When he came up to the boat, this is in Mark and Matthew as well, and I would encourage you to read those versions because they give some other details, but they were terrified of Jesus. And you know, another type of fear that some of us are paralyzed with is our fear of what Jesus is thinking of us, what God really thinks of us, that he's judging us, that he's nitpicking us, that he's condemning us. And I want to be honest, like, let's watch the video clip.
I live in terror of judgment.
And you think self-hatred will save you?
Have you ever dared to think that God is not just? He has us born, tainted by sin. Then he's angry with us all our lives for our faults. This righteous judge who damns us, threatening us with the fires of hell. I know I'm evil to think it.
You are not evil. You are just not honest. God isn't angry with you. You are angry with God.
I wish there were no God.
Martin, what is it you seek?
A merciful God. A God whom I can love. A God who loves me.
Then look to Christ. Bind yourself to Christ. And you will know God's love. Say to him, "I'm yours. Save me. I am yours. Save me.
I am yours. Save me. I am yours."
So some of us live in this way with God, and I want to confess that, like, when I first started going to seminary several years ago in South Carolina, like, something started happening to me. My conscience became oversensitized to sin, and everything I would do, I would just put myself under a microscope and I would confess the most outrageous things to professors and things, and they'd be like, "You're fine. What are you, what's wrong?" And literally it would keep me up. Like I had scruples, and Martin Luther had this thing called scrupulosity, where you're just so afraid that everything that you do, God is just about to strike you down, and it's paralyzing. It's horrible. Some of us live with that, though. We live with that. So many of us, we're in the storm of our circumstances, or we're in the storm of our own obsession with trying to perform for God and be accepted with God. But either way, we're paralyzed with fear. What is the cure to this fear? What do we do? Well, we need to let Jesus into our boat. We need to let him in. But to do that, many of us need to change our thoughts and repent against false beliefs of who Jesus is. Because before we let Jesus into our boat, we need to know who we are letting into the boat. And we need to let all of who Jesus is into our boat. You know, John often does things. He connects Jesus to the Old Testament God, and I'm going to get more into that. But this scene of Jesus, and you know, he's strolling. The word used in the Greek here is like strolling. He's just hum-da-dum-dum. He's not nervous or scared. He's revealing his power over the elements. And it may remind us of Job 9:8, where it says, he alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Or it may remind us of Psalm 77. Your path led through the sea, your mighty way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You see, Jesus is proclaiming, he's not just a good teacher. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a king that came that they wanted to make king over Israel so they could become a powerful kingdom. He's not just that, but he is creator. He is all powerful. That he has power over the elements. That he created the elements. That he created you. My thoughts go back to Genesis, the creation. The Holy Spirit hovered over the dark water. When Jesus hovers and strolls over the dark water, and he comes to them and he proclaims, I am creator. So they're thinking, oh my goodness, what is going on? Is this, who is, oh wow, he's this, oh my goodness. They had to calculate that before they let Jesus in the boat. You know, he says, do not fear, it is I. But this is one of those times in the Gospel of John, this is one of those statements, these I am statements. In the Greek, it's an emphatic I am. We translate it, it is I, but I am. What is he saying there? He's saying, I'm the same God that told Moses at the burning bush, I am, take off your feet, your shoes. I'm the same one that told Moses to tell Pharaoh, I am sent you. Jesus is saying, I am. I am that terrifying God of the Old Testament that you guys are scared of. Because you should be scared of that Old Testament God. Because he had many laws and many regulations and many demands on his people, and he did some pretty scary things that we don't quite understand. But Jesus comes and he says, I am, do not fear. Why does he say do not fear? Because something has changed. Something has changed that's really big. Jesus, as we've talked about before, he's the fullest revelation of God, right? So Jesus is saying, yes, I am him. I am that terrifying God that created the world. But something's different. I am also a God of love and mercy and grace. And he will show that on the cross that he paid for our sins. He's saying, not only don't be afraid of the elements because I have control over that, but he's saying, do not be afraid of me because I love you and I accept you. And I want to come into the boat of your terrible storm. I want to come in and I want you to receive my presence so I can work in your life. He is a merciful God. You know, in the scripture, it says, then the disciples were willing to let him in. You know, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have our lives all together before we let Jesus in. We don't have to have all that down, but we just need some willingness. We need some willingness. And if we don't have willingness, pray for willingness. Pray that God will give you the willingness to let him in the boat. to say, God, I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm fearful. I've been trying to do this on my own. I've been trying to face the storm on my own, but I can't. But I'm not yet willing to let you in my boat. But you pray, be willing. Some of us, we need to shed these, you know, very, very smart people say, they say, I love to, you know, Kevin's talked about this before. I love Jesus. You know, Jesus, he was a great wise teacher. He was so wise. He did so many great things. He cared for the poor, you know, but I don't believe he was the Son of God. I don't believe he's creator. You can't do that. It's not logical. You either believe he is a complete lunatic or you believe he was the Son of God. So when we ask Jesus, when Jesus wants to come in the boat, he can't just be a good teacher or a special prophet. It's all of who he is into the boat. So what happens when Jesus gets in the boat? What happens? What does that look like? What does it mean for now? Are we going to ask the creator of the universe, creator God? Are we going to say, come get in the boat, but you sit over there. I'm going to keep driving. Is that what we're going to do? Is that what some of us have done? That's maybe what some of us done, as we've talked about in many of the sermons, is some of us, you know, it's not really about Jesus. It's about what he can do for us. So yeah, we want him in the boat because he's good and he's powerful. And he can give me some money. He can give me a job. He can give me a wife. He can give me this. He can give me, give me, give me. So I want you in the boat. But that Jesus doesn't want to come in the boat. That Jesus is not actually Jesus at all. That Jesus are our idols coming in the boat and driving the boat. You see, when Jesus comes in the boat, something happens. Either we have a journey of challenge, but much joy as we shed the idols of our heart to surrender fully to Jesus and we find peace, or oh, we let him in and man, it is a struggle. Torn, tension, guilt. Oh, why am I? We can choose. But one thing is for sure, if we let him in the boat, we will need, he will call us to lovingly seek our own hearts. Because the thing is, folks, it's our idols that cause so much fear if we're honest. We want so many things that aren't really good for us or aren't really about Jesus. And when we don't get them, it creates a storm of fear, whether we're looking for power, success, money, security. That's why these storms, God will let them into our life because they reveal this stuff to us. When you're in a storm, it's like you can either run and you'll face that same storm again, or you can look inside your heart and say, why? And like I said, sometimes life just happens. I'm not saying that every storm you're in is your fault, but I'm saying sometimes it's because of our idols. And, one of my favorite pieces of literature, AA's 12 and 12, which I highly recommend. When the satisfaction of our instincts for sex, security, and society becomes the sole object of our lives, then pride steps in to justify our excesses. All these failings generate fear, a soul sickness in its own right. The fear, in turn, generates more character defects, unreasonable fear that our instincts will not be satisfied, drives us to covet the possessions of others, to lust for sex and power, to become angry when our instinctive demands are threatened, to be envious when the ambitions of others seem to be realized while ours are not. We eat, drink, and grab for more of everything than we need, fearing we shall never have enough. What Jesus wants, he wants full surrender to him. When he gets into the boat, he wants full surrender. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. I mean, that's kind of scary because it's like Jesus owns us, but at the same time, it's like amazing. When you're caught in the storm, you meditate. He owns me. He wants to guide my boat. Isn't that awesome that he paid for us? He bought us with a price. Don't you think he has vested interest in what happens to you? He wants himself to be glorified in your life. But he wants complete surrender because he owns you. But it's not like, A bad own. It's the best own ever. Because he wants us to live and drink of his love. You know, it's really all about, the light clicked on to me. It's about his presence. It's about his presence. He gets in the boat. That's so symbolic of having his presence with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. That no matter what we're going through, no matter what it is, we have the presence of Jesus in the boat with us, going through it with us. It's about his presence. It's not about what he can do for us. It's about him. So no matter what you're going through, he is with you. His love is enough. His love and presence are the thing that our souls yearn for. It's what we're yearning for in all our idols. It's his love. And you know what he says about love? Perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. And what he did on the cross shows that he loves us perfectly. He accepts us wholly the way we are. But he wants to transform us. He wants to transform us. Love, says God, Bible says God is love. And these are the two powerful forces, fear and love. And when we seek out love from anything other than Jesus, we actually will reap fear. You know, in our recovery meeting, this guy's writing a book based on 12 steps and the biblical foundations of it. But we always use this metaphor of a garden. Our heart is like a garden, and we need to weed our garden. You know, we have weeds that grow up, and like what the weed is, when we see a weed, like the leaves are uncomfortable resentments that we have. The stem is fear, and under that are the roots, which are idols, whether they're greed, their lust, self-centeredness, pride. These are the things that breed the stem of fear. And so Jesus comes into the boat. He's the great gardener, and he wants to weed our garden. Because here's the thing. There is peace when we give up our idols. There is joy. We become the redeemed person. You know, unfortunately, we're not when Jesus walked the earth. So when we're in the boat, we don't get to see Jesus right there, right? We have to see him with what? Eyes of what? Faith. How scary is faith? He gives us his present. He gives us his comfort. But we still have to walk in faith. That no matter what is going on in your life, don't give in. Don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to the enemy's lies that God can't deliver you. We have faith because, listen, some of us won't get that miracle, but he's with us and his presence is enough. But some of us will, because when he got in that boat, he got immediately to the shore. And that was a miracle. So when we let Jesus in there, in our boat, we can experience miracles. He will make a way where there is no way. He can make a way where there is no way. But maybe he just needs you to learn what you need to learn before he makes that way. And this is not a sermon about don't have fear and anxiety. Oh God, I'd be the biggest hypocrite on earth. Literally, you would need to shoot me right now. But listen to what Charles Glassman says. Fear and anxiety many times indicates that we are moving in a positive direction, out of the safe confines of our comfort zone, and in the direction of our true purpose. You know, many of us, that fear and anxiety, we need to increase our faith. We need to walk in more faith. As that fear and anxiety increases, we need to strengthen our faith. How do we do that, though? How do we do this? How do we experience his presence? How do we strengthen our faith? You know, Kelly was saying, like, she needs the manna every day. You know, I meet people that are going through these giant storms in their life, and they're Christians, and I say, hey, when was the last time you spent some time with Jesus, or spent some time in prayer with other people, or read the Bible to figure out who really Jesus is in this storm? Well, it's been months, because we've just been so distracted with all this stuff. And I'm like, you are starving. You are starving. They're just some common sense things we need to do every day. We need to feed on the manna from heaven. We need to feed on Jesus. We need to know who He is through His Word. The Holy Spirit anoints the Word and will lead us and guide us through His Word. He will feed our very souls. He will encourage us. He will comfort us. We need to bask in His presence. We need to worship. But look at this. We also need something else. They were in the boat together. The disciples were together in that boat. And that tells me something about community. We need to be in community as we get the revelation of who Jesus is. We need to be in community because we can't do it alone. You can do some by yourself with God, but it will not happen unless you are in the body of Christ, in intimate relationships where you pray for each other, where you encourage each other, where you share your storm with others. Because if you don't share your storm will share you. That makes sense? And you won't know it. They were in the community as they got the full revelation of who Jesus is. So we need to come together and say, Jesus, come be with us. Come be with us. Let's study the Word together. Let's get the revelation of who Jesus is together. Let's join a grow and serve group. A smaller, more intimate family where people can get to know us and we can walk through our storms together. The disciples were in the boat and they were together in this storm. We need to come together and not fall to the temptation of isolation. When Jesus guides our boat, I want you to know though, when He gets in, no matter what you're facing, you need to know you may be a lot closer to where you need to be than you think. Do not give up. Do not give up, because He is a God of miracles. Alan Woods says, it never ceases to amaze me when God wants to take someone to the next level in their life and they let fear of the unknown rob them of tremendous blessings. I think there are two common problems with Christians. They are scared to death of being truly free and of God's overwhelming love. I'm crying out in my very soul for freedom, for full revelation of God's love. Can we be a community together that completely embraces and surrenders to Jesus together, to His love, to His freedom? Can we buck the system, the crazy world out there, this crazy culture that sucks us all in? Let's seek Jesus together. Let's let Him get in our boat and guide us to where we need to be. Let's let Jesus guide us and transform us into a community that not only knows His presence, but shares His glorious, life-giving, awesome, peaceful, joy-giving, comforting Spirit to a dark and broken world. It's all about His presence. And I pray for you right now, no matter what you're going through, that you will experience His loving and graceful presence in your life. Lord, I pray, God, that this life is tough and things happen. But God, I pray your presence would be powerful with us. And the chains that bind us would be broken, Lord. They would be broken off of us. All the lies in our minds, all the chains that hold us down would be broken in Jesus' name.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.